Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for today is a gospel lesson from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 20, the sending out of the 72, and obviously their return. But when we think of the kingdom of God, which is the message they're going forth proclaiming, but when we think of the kingdom of God, often our thoughts turn to something a little different. We don't think of the word being proclaimed, the sacraments being administered, the sermon being declared. We think of the end times when we think of the kingdom of God coming, right? We think of the end times, and when we think of the end times, we think of fire and judgment and power. And maybe that's why Christians are often viewed as, judgmental. Yet we heard last week in 1 Kings 19, how did God reveal himself to the prophet Elijah? He believed the whole world was seeking his downfall, his death, his kill, to kill him. And God spoke to Elijah not in the great wind and not in the earthquake and not even in the fire as he had already done with Moses in the burning bush. But now it's a low whisper, or as I grew up with the translation, I grew up with a still small voice, right? Through which Elijah knew the voice of God and covered his face and was sent to proclaim God's word of judgment, yes, and peace, or as we Lutherans like to say, law and gospel. In our gospel today, God in flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, is sending his servants to bring his message to the ends of the world. And his message is peace through his kingdom coming. The 72 are instructed only to take the word of God, the word of peace, as they go out. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandal, and greet no one on the road. These instructions change later on, right? When the disciples are sent again. He says, whenever you enter a house, first say, peace be to this house. This is not flashy to our flesh. And if Jesus were speaking to us the way he did to the 72 today, it would be horrifying for most of us to think of it. Leaving everything and go. But that's what our Lord does as he sends his disciples out two by two to proclaim the word of peace. Nothing for their trip, simply trusting in God to provide. Isn't that really life? From womb to tomb. And this is often where our sinful nature starts to scream and contradict the word of God. He's mad. God can't mean that. The word must submit to my reason, to my science, to my understanding, to what my flesh wants. It wants it to sit here and be comfortable. Yet faith has to speak louder. No. The word only submits to God's will, and his will is that we receive his peace and share his peace with our neighbors. So the 72 are to greet their host by saying, peace be to this house. But these words ring hollow because we know our houses don't have peace. Is there peace in your family, in your homes today? If the pastor simply walked into your house and said, peace be to this house, would it ring joyful to you, or would it be, sure, you don't know what's going on here? You see, that's the struggle again of our flesh. Is there even peace in the church? We must all confess that God's peace has often returned rather than rested upon us. As we know all too well how our peace is ripped away. It could be, well, the doctor's phone call, or these days they don't call, it's normally the nurse, right? Or the email on your app. A pink slip from your employer, although today they're trying to hire anybody and everybody. The continued increase of the cost of living as gas gets closer and closer to needing a bank loan to fill your tank. The sudden eruption of formerly hidden family issues that can split a family, destroy a family, or just cause all kinds of grief in that family. The sudden death of a loved one. These all will rob us not only of our earthly peace, but often if we take our focus off of Jesus, off our true source of peace, they then in turn, if we allow these earthly things to do that, they then in turn will take from us eternal peace. Yet the gospel of Jesus is about peace, which is why he has his tunnel vision as he has set his face to go to Jerusalem to give his life so that we may have peace and this peace that he sends his disciples to declare. Jesus does this by taking our sins into himself. You know this. He does it by taking the wages of our sins into himself, dying our death on the cross, and rising from this death on the third day to declare salvation for all of us who have lost our peace. This is how Jesus brings the kingdom of God to us. And the kingdom of God always brings us peace, or that is, brings the believer peace. This is why he joins himself to us through his means of grace, through the word and the sacraments. Jesus gives us his perfect righteousness, his sinless state before the Father, as baptism joins us to his death and resurrection, and we live and move in that every day. And in the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us his flesh and his blood in with and under the bread and the wine as he joins his flesh to ours to give us a clean flesh and his blood to ours to pump through even our sin-scarred hearts. Today, peace be to this house. And the pastor, Pastor Rafa, had the privilege of declaring it to you today. Your sins are forgiven. By nature, those born of flesh will only reject this gift of peace, which is why the disciples are, well, given the other side of the coin. You see, if you won't receive the peace that God offers you, then God has one other thing to offer that you don't want. It's God's judgment. You see, whenever you enter town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know that the kingdom of God has come near. The one who has ears, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Now please note, the disciples are not sent out on a seek and destroy mission to towns that won't accept them. Their primary goal is to bring the peace of God to the ends of the earth. And this promise to cast off the dust against the town isn't extended to every pastor throughout time. It's for the 72. I know some pastors who have felt misused and mistreated in the parishes they were, and they took video of themselves casting off the dust from their shoes, and they just sit there and went, read your Bible again, buddy. But the simple fact of the matter is, if the pastor's proclaiming the clear word of God, as these apostles who are sent, these disciples who are going, are doing, and people reject that clear word of God, the peace that God provides, then all that left is damnation. All that's left is judgment. The 72, you see, are those sent to bring peace. The word of peace, if the word of peace is our gift. You see, God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But know this, if you reject God's servants who bring God's peace, you reject the one who sent him. And in doing so, you reject God and his peace altogether. Remember, Jesus offers his peace to the afflicted, But he is the source of affliction for those who reject his peace. We, disciples, can't lose sight of this message of peace. Just like the 72. You see, when they came back to Jesus, what were they excited about? That they got to share the gospel with all these people in all these towns? Or that the demons even listened to them and had to behave? Yeah, yes, exciting. Until, of course, they come upon a boy who's got a demon and they can't cast him out, and they bring him to Jesus and say, "Why won't this demon listen to us?" And Jesus has to say, "Well, this one, it takes prayer." You see, it becomes one of those issues where you think the demons are listening to you because of you instead of because of God. It's easy to be tempted to take our eyes off of Jesus. We are all a little guilty of this, often desiring that which is grand and glorious instead of those gifts that bring us true and lasting peace. I know they're simple, and I know I repeat it regularly, but it really is just word and sacrament. The word of God read and proclaimed, the water joined with that word and promise of God, and baptism, as happened today. Pastor Rafa this week had the privilege of baptizing Ethan Tenlin. God be praised. Please keep him in your prayers as he continues to heal. But then that word of God joined to bread and wine, all bringing you Christ, all for one reason. So that our lives that are so chaotic and so corrupted and so, well, troubled by this world, by what people do to us and by what we do to ourselves and what we do to other people, can have peace. Your sins are forgiven. The fickleness of our heart is what leads often pastors and parishioners alike to focus on things that we think we can control rather than just keep our peace focused, our faith focused on the source of our peace that we can't control, which is Jesus. But it's always given. When we focus on the things we can control, we get upset about donors and dollars and doing stuff to look successful rather than God's still small voice that simply comes and announces to us who are troubled and struggling, "Peace be to this house." Or as we said today, "Your sins are forgiven." You see, Jesus' words is our only source of comfort and peace. In fact, the good news that our salvation has already been earned solely by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is ours by faith through the working of the Holy Spirit and delivered through the means of grace. This faith brings peace now, and God be praised, that faith brings peace for eternity because it's joined to Jesus. Have you noticed that after you've confessed your sins, after we did confession of our sins today, Pastor Rafa didn't turn around and go, "I hope you guys are forgiven"? That would stink, right? Or, "I feel you guys are forgiven." That would be just as bad. Although there are churches today where those two would pass as pretty good absolutions. No. He gets to say, in the stead and by the command, in the stead, announcing what Jesus would say if he was standing here in flesh instead of in the person of his pastors that he sent, and by the command, saying what he has promised to say, and giving to you the one thing that nothing in this world can take away despite all its efforts, the peace of God which passes all understanding. You are forgiven. In the very name of God, you are forgiven. The God who baptized you, the God who claimed you as his own, the God who feeds you at his table, this God declares to you, you are forgiven, and you are. The very word of peace that is read and proclaimed points us to Jesus as the only source of everlasting peace. I hope you notice when the pastors finished consecrating the elements, consecrating the bread and the wine, we now have a celebration host here at church. We used to not have that, but now we have this bigger wafer. And the pastor turns around and he holds up the wafer and he holds the chalice and he says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." This is not just some liturgical function. This is the body and blood of Christ that he is now showing you that is the source of our peace always. That's why it's done. And faith can only respond one way to this gift of God. Amen. Let it be. So peace be to this house. For our peace today, we come to God's table and we receive once again our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our peace. Let us never get hung up on the how this is possible. It's possible because the creative and all-powerful Word of God declares it to be. Lest we lose sight like of the greater for the lesser, like the 72 did. Let us hear the words of Jesus and rejoice. And rejoice, as Jesus says, nevertheless, do not rejoice that in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And by the grace of God and his gift to you of faith in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that is exactly where our names are written. So peace be to this house. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.